1, we've been speaking on the mind for the last several weeks, and we're bringing this to a conclusion this morning. Next week, of course, we'll have Brother Alan Harris preaching for us, and looking forward to what he's going to have for us. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, the mind, I think, is one of the most important aspects of our lives. They estimate, some estimate, that we have upwards of 70,000 thoughts per day. Now, I don't know who took the time to count that. Again, that's just an estimate that I read, and I thought, you know, that is quite impressive to have 70,000 different thoughts a day, and maybe some of those thoughts are recurring thoughts, and that's bound to happen, I'm sure. Someone else said in 2015, just a year ago, that the fourth most powerful supercomputer in the world took 40 minutes to produce 1 second of brain activity. Now, I don't know if that's true or not either, but when you compare what God has given to us, it is, I think, worth caring for, it's worth talking about, and most of all, it's worth protecting. It's worth protecting, and that's what we're going to speak about this morning, is protecting our minds. How can we do that? I want you to pick up reading in chapter 1 of the book of 1 Peter. In the very first verse, the Bible says, "Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should be, or that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of the Spirit of Christ which is in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I want you to take notice in verse number 13, where the scripture says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, as we pause for this moment, I ask that you would speak to our hearts today. Father, may we hear from heaven. As we read just a moment ago, God, we know that our minds are often a battlefield. And God, the battle is often in our minds. And God, we just ask this morning that you would help each one of us, as we've talked much over the past couple of months about the mind. God, may we take what you have given to us, and may we, just through your holy word, build a wall of protection round about us. Father, that you would bind Satan and his adversaries and his workers, God, that we would just be of one mind, of one accord, doing what you would have us to do. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Protecting the mind. Now, here in verse number 13, we have a particular phrase that I want to take just a few moments to break down and define for you. Because it's not a phrase that we use too much, where the Bible says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." We're to gird them up. That word gird there literally means to surround, encircle, and enclose. So we're going to surround this thing. We're going to encircle this thing. We're going to enclose this thing. If you will, picture in your mind a city that in ancient times were often protected by the walls that were built around them. And in this, Peter is telling the church, he's telling these Christians, that because of all of these other things that are taking place, it is important that you gird up, that you enclose, that you circle, and that you surround your mind. Now, then he says that you gird up the loins of your mind. The loins there is the part of your mind that thinks. It's literally the loins of your mind are, it's actually, if you look it up and you can study it out, it's part of the feature of the vertebrae and the mass that comes around in and through that type of thinking in there. So are the thinking part of our mind is what we're going to surround. Our thought life is under attack. Amen. Our thought life. In how think, in what we think about, and what we ponder upon. Now notice he says here, encircle this thing, gird this up, protect this thing, the part of your mind that thinks. And then he says, be sober. Be sober. Now typically when we're talking about soberness, we will often talk about sometimes a drunkenness or an intoxication that would be part of that. We would say, oh, well, he's sobered up. What sober just basically means to be regular. You're in your regular mind. It can also be calm or serious or temperate in the mind. Now, as we think about this and as we consider the fact that he's telling us here that we need to protect our mind, what do we have some things that we can protect it from? I've been teaching through the last several weeks as well in my Sunday school class about David and the sin that David committed with Bathsheba and the murder that followed after that sin. After Bathsheba got pregnant, he ordered the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and we see the effects that were going through, and all of that started in David's mind. It started there. When David went up on the rooftop to look out, and he was just going on a walk, and he saw Bathsheba there in a way that he really shouldn't have seen her, but he allowed his mind to ponder there, and David needed to surround his mind by removing some of that. We have other things in our mind that allow us to not find the victory from God. We have sometimes the angry mind. We've talked about that. We have bitterness that builds up in our mind that allows us, or I should say doesn't allow us, to have fully the joy of the Lord. Now, here in 1 Peter, we're going to break this down here because he's telling us in the very beginning here of who he's speaking to. He's speaking to those that believe. In verse number 2, he says, to the elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So he's talking to those that know Christ as their Savior, those that have been covered by the blood, those that have accepted that. Now notice in verse number 4, he says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. I just want to start here by saying, hey, we have much to think about, and if we're going to think about anything, this is the type of thing we need to think about. I've got a place in heaven reserved for me. Amen. And if you do, that ought to be something that comes to your mind frequently and often, that we would know that in this. Now, as he says here, he's continuing. He said, hey, have you got a place reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God? Aren't you glad that it has absolutely nothing to do with your power? Amen. I mean, there's nothing that I can do to get saved, and there's nothing that I can do to stay saved. It's only the power of God. It is not my power. It's glorious. He says, the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now notice this in verse number 6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So if we're going to protect our mind, how are we going to protect our mind? I want to give you three things this morning. Number one, if we're going to protect our mind, we're going to protect our mind through rejoicing. Through rejoicing. Notice again what he's contemplating here and what he's telling these Christians and these believers. He says again in verse number 6, he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. So he's giving this picture here of rejoicing. Again, rejoicing is very simply as finding joy again, or rejoying or rejoicing, finding joy again. Now, every time I think of rejoicing, I have to go back to what Peter said there before he got to verse number 6. What are we rejoicing in? Well, the first thing that we must rejoice in is that I'm saved. Hallelujah! I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. There's a place reserved in heaven for me. There's a place reserved in heaven for you, for all of those that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, kept by His power. Again, it's not by our power. Then he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. But I want you to take note in verse number 5, he says that unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that time, or revealed in the last time. When are we having salvation? Now, I know we experience salvation when we trust Christ as our Savior, but heaven is not until then. It hasn't come yet. Okay, so heaven is not here. Heaven is coming. It's going to be revealed, but get this, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Whew. Let me grab this real quick. Let's illustrate it like this. Notice he says, greatly rejoice. That's not a little bit of rejoicing, that's a lot of bit of rejoicing. Now, I know that's not even a proper phrase, but a lot of bit I like more than a little bit. So we have a lot of bit of rejoicing. So a whole lot of rejoicing going on. Although, for a season. We know seasons come, seasons go. But notice, he says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. just been heavy in your mind? I mean, you know, things just pile up. Things just have a way of happening. And they happen, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and it seems like, man, it's just all coming at once. Heaviness. Hold on. Through manifold temptations. You know, when heaviness comes, it is easy to give in to the temptation of getting down. Just getting down. We call it maybe sometimes down in the dumps. You know, just down in the dumps. We give in to that temptation, but notice again, he says, if we're going to gird up the loins of our mind, if we're going to protect our minds, we have to protect our minds from the temptations of getting down and getting depressed and getting overwhelmed. How do we do that? Well, it's pretty simple in this explanation here. He says you do that by greatly rejoicing. Hey, one of the things we can rejoice about during those heavy times is that it's not going to last forever. Amen. These things come by seasons, and this too shall pass. I love the words of Jesus when he said that. He said, this too shall pass. Notice verse number 7. He says, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hey, notice this. He's telling us, hey, we know we're saved. We know I've got a place reserved for me in heaven. But hey, now you need to greatly rejoice that the trial of your faith. Hold on a second. The trial of my faith. Hey, can I just tell you that circumstances will arise in your life that will try and test your faith. Oh my. Or maybe we should say, oh me. The trials that come in life. And we could go through. I mean, if we just took the time to start up here in the front with Brother Don. Brother Don could share a trial with us. And we could come over here to the Steel Boys and they could share a trial with us. How many of you know children have trials too? You all are teenagers though, right? I'm not a child anymore. We could go back to junior church and go through and talk to some of the children about the trials that they've been through. We could go on to Mark and Maggie and give me your name. We haven't met yet. Jordan, it's nice to meet you. I'm glad you're here today. Jordan, you ever had a trial in your life? You don't know? You probably have. You just don't know it. His whole life could be a trial. He just doesn't know it. You know? Nick, you ever had a trial? Man. Emily? One or two? 100? Hey, I've had thousands. I mean, we could go through the room one at a time and give testimony of trials. Randall, you had a trial? Man. You ever had a trial? To try your faith? You see, our faith fluctuates. It goes up. It goes down. I shouldn't do that in order. It goes down. It goes up. Our faith goes all over the place. I still remind myself and want to remind you when Jesus came to his disciples, he said, oh, ye of little faith. But this was the disciples that they saw the changing of the water into wine. They saw people that were deaf receive their sight, or hearing. Yeah. Blind receive their sight. That's what happens. They saw all these things, and yet their faith still fluctuated. You know, I know I'm on my way to heaven. I know I have a place in heaven reserved for me, but I get down. And the fact of the matter is, we shouldn't. Because he says that the trial of your faith, get this, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. I don't know what the price of gold is right now, but it's pretty costly. If you wanted to buy an ounce, it would cost you nearly $2,000, maybe a little bit over. Anybody know the price of gold right now? $1,100? It's gone down. Give me some. Get us both some when you get it. It's $1,100 worth of gold. I mean, we'd say, man, that's a lot of money. That's just 1 ounce. Correct? 1 ounce of gold? $1,100. Imagine if you had a pound. I don't do math well. But that'd be 16 times 11. Somebody let me know what that is later. Gold perishes. It's just a fact. Gold is here today, and when we leave, guess what's staying? Gold. And if it doesn't, if you hang on to it, if you hang on to it, it's still going to be here when you leave. You see, gold perisheth, but we take gold and we say, oh, it's precious. The most precious thing I own would be gold. That's excluding people, okay? So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. We'd say, oh, my most prized possession, if I had a pound of gold, I'd have something. But he says that trial of your faith is more precious than the gold. He said, though it be tried with fire, notice this. He says that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You say, I've got some trials going on in my life, Pastor, and I think about them constantly. I mean, it could be a trial with a person. It could be a health trial. I mean, just name it again. You could have a trial. How do I get through that? How do I protect my mind? You rejoice. You rejoice. Very simple. You rejoice to know. And you can start here that you're a child of God on your way to heaven if you know Christ as your Savior. You can start there. You can protect your mind by rejoicing. Number two, he says in verse number 8, talking about Jesus, he says, whom, having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied for the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which is in them, did signify when it was testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. If I'm going to protect my mind by rejoicing, this kind of goes a little bit along with it. I'm going to have to protect my mind by remembering. I have many things to remember. I have many things to concentrate on. And if I'm going to remember through this, I've got to remember some things that Jesus has done. I've got to remember what Jesus paid. I've got to remember that he did this for me. You see? He says, searching in verse number 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You see, we could go back to the book of Isaiah when Isaiah penned the 53rd chapter there as he described the sufferings of Jesus. We could go all through the Old Testament and find the pictures and prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, if we're going to rejoice, we're going to have to remember. We're going to have to think about, we're going to have to bring to our mind and build up this wall of, if I could say it this way without being disrespectful, that we need to build up a wall of Jesus in our life. We need to build up a wall of Jesus that is encompassing us, the thoughts about him, thoughts about what he has done. You see, that is how we protect our mind. He says in verse number 12, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Can I tell you something, man? This is amazing to me. The angels would desire to have what you have. They're desiring to look into these things. You see, they have something they don't know, at least from what we can gather from Scripture, that they don't have an understanding of grace. That they don't have an understanding of what is taking place when Jesus died on the cross. They didn't quite get it. Then he says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. If we're going to protect our mind, we're going to have to protect by rejoicing. We're going to have to protect it by remembering. And thirdly, we're going to have to protect the mind by replacing. Verse number 14 gives us the key here. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. You see, I need to replace some things. If I'm going to gird my mind and build up a wall and encircle and encompass and all that is required in girding up the loins of my mind and what I think about, I'm going to have to replace what I was thinking about with something else. If I'm going to say, all right, I'm not going to drink Coca-Cola anymore. No more Coca-Cola for me. As a matter of fact, just how about this? No more soda, period. How long am I going to make it? A day? I mean, no more soda. I mean, you know, what am I going to have to do? If all I drink is Coca-Cola, what am I going to have to do? Somebody help me here. Okay, straighten my mind, but I also have to replace it with something else. Otherwise, I'm going to die. I mean, plain and simple. You see, I can't stop thinking. As a matter of fact, I challenge you, stop thinking. You can't do that. You can't do it? Randall just did it. He had that deer in the headlight look. No thoughts. Now look, we all know that's not true. I'm just picking on Randall. I'm glad to see you, by the way. We can't just say, Brother Don, I'm just not going to think anymore. Can we? No. So how do I protect my mind? Now, how many of you ever said this? I just can't stop thinking about. Look, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you try giving up Coca-Cola and all you do is think about Coca-Cola, it's not going to be too long before you're drinking Coca-Cola. Plain and simple. If all you do is think about pornography and looking at pornography, you're probably going to look at pornography. If all you do is think about, you know, whatever it is you're thinking about, that's probably what you're going to do. So what do we do there? Well, I've got to replace what I'm thinking about. If whatever the thought is that I'm having in bitterness and anger and all of that, I might have to replace that bitter, angry thought there. You see, notice, he says, as obedient children. Obedient to what? The Word of God. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts, ignorant in your ignorance. The former lusts. That means I don't have them any longer because I've replaced them with what? Hey, he tells us. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Where do we get the holiness of God from? What is it that we are to obey? Well, it's the Word of God, you see. If I'm going to replace the former thinking, and it all begins in our mind, it all begins in what we're thinking about, if I'm going to surround and encircle and enclose my thoughts in my mind, if I'm going to be regular, if I'm going to be calm, if I'm going to be serious, temperate, and have all of these things here, I'm going to do it through the Word of God. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He goes on to say, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, you're either going to protect your mind, or you're not going to build a wall at all, and you're going to be in a constant struggle. You're going to be in constant turmoil because thoughts of holiness and the thoughts of God's word are going to be coming this way, and the thoughts of the world and the thoughts of your lust and the thoughts of the flesh are going to be coming in this way. We can protect our minds. We can do it by rejoicing. We can do it by remembering. We can do it by replacing. But it's up to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning.